Welcome to Two-Legged Tie, the official podcast of the Derby City Rovers and the Boarding Crew. I'm Eric Major.
I'm Martin French.
I'm Augustus Waiters.
We've got a couple really awesome legs lined up for you. Our home leg today involves news coming up for Derby or for Boarding Crew events and the season ticket package we had teased last week, as well as discussing the PDL and more of our conference. For the away leg...
Well, for the away leg, we're going to look at old school football. We're going to look at players, basically try and figure out, okay, who do we consider to be what you'd call old school committed footballers? Men who will sort of die on their feet if needs be for the job.
I mean, old school is the best school. So this should be a fun conversation. I mean, a lot of people grew up in the Sky invented football era.
Yeah.
But, you know, for some of us who basically had to rent videotapes, and that really aged me right there, rent videotapes to find out our favorite football heroes.
Before the advent of the YouTubes.
Before YouTube even existed. You know, YouTube is relatively young. I think they're only like 10 years old.
2002.
Yeah. 2002. I thought they were 2005, man. But yeah, YouTube's relatively young. So, I mean, if you had to get up in order to watch France 98.
I didn't have to get up in order to watch France 98. I was near enough to France 98.
Lucky you, but for the rest of us that were up at like 10 p.m. to like 2 a.m. trying to watch France 98, yeah, this is your away leg. That's what's going to happen.
So, getting started with the home leg, first thing we want to discuss is coming up on Wednesday. Hopefully you'll hear this before then. The second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League final takes place between Club America and Montreal Impact, currently sitting at an even 1-1. Montreal currently ahead on away goals, thanks to the away goals rule that we love so much. We, the Boarding Crew, are having an event at the Barnos in Jeffersonville. We can give you more information to follow as we get closer to time, but we've got an event set up on Facebook that we've mentioned. I think it's been mentioned on Twitter. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I believe it has.
I think it definitely has been mentioned on Facebook anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely been mentioned out there, but I believe the away leg is at what, 8 o'clock?
Yes, it is at 8 o'clock.
Game is scheduled to kick off at 8 o'clock, so it being the CONCACAF Champions League, that should be 8:20.
And we will be meeting at 7:30, doing the meet and greet. We hope to have more than six people there, because the six of us who were there, we loved the first leg, but we'd love to have more to kind of actually give us a bit more atmosphere.
Well, I love the first leg of the part that I saw, because I had to go home, because I was very tired.
You should get some sleep the night before, whatever that is.
Yeah, sleep. What is this sleep you speak of? But that's okay.
The other thing that's of pressing importance is we finally got a word on the Boarding Crew season ticket package for Derby City Rovers with a code. I believe you have the code. I don't have it off the top of my head.
It's hashtag Boarding Crew, all one word.
And that gets you a 50% discount on season tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, season tickets are incredibly cheap. Tickets bought on the gate, I think, are $7.
I think he bumped it up to 10.
Oh, it was up to 10. I thought it was 7, but last year it was $7. And even at $7, you're getting you're right, it is bumped up to 10. But that's six home games for $7 each.
Six home games and then Center College.
Oh, yeah, that one included as well?
I believe it is.
I didn't realize that. Well, that's seven home games for $6 each. So that's a decent ticket. You know, you're getting a seventh off the cost. But this knocks 50% off that. That's $21 for all seven games.
You have no excuse not to be out there.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's too nice a deal not to take advantage of.
It's costing you money not to go.
This is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Augustus, do you have anything to say about that?
I'm going to say as soon as I possibly can, which is probably going to be Friday when I actually get paid and stop being broke, I'm buying mine, period. That's it. You know, this is too good a deal. It
makes him stammer.
It's a bargain at twice the price. Seriously.
Yeah.
You hear that cliche all the time, but this is literally a bargain at twice the price.
Yeah. Top quality football for $42 for seven games is great, but for 21?
21?
Yes,
you're out of your mind. Tell me that again.
21,
and we've gone into QVC mode. And if you act now, you get a player of your choice.
What?
Yes, we'll let you pick your player and maybe a coach.
That's unbelievable.
Inconceivable.
I'm literally freaking out right now. This is unbelievable deal.
Cut that man off. He cannot have any more bourbon. So let's get into PDL.
Yeah, now, so those of you who are well-versed in the system, this may seem a little bit, I know a lot of this, but there's been changes this year. For those of you who don't know, USL, United Soccer Leagues, is the company that owns basically USL, which is where Louisville City play, and USL PDL, the Premier Development League. The Premier Development League is basically the fourth tier of American soccer, one tier underneath underneath USL, as we now call it. It's an amateur league. Basically, all the players are meant to be under 23 years old. It fits for a lot of academies, and it corresponds. The other fourth tier league is NPSL, National Premier Soccer League, and it's kind of connected to NASL, North American Soccer League, which is the second tier. So there's connection. There's been a little bit of jumping back and forth between the leagues. For example, the New Orleans team, the Jesters, when I lived there, I watched them play in the PDL. These days, if I went down to see them, they'd be playing in NPSL. So that gives you an idea. It's they're fairly even, fairly on a par. A lot of different clubs. This is the biggest and most nationwide. This is the biggest nationwide league in the country.
The one big difference I noticed when I was doing a little bit of research on this is the NPSL has no age limit. There's no age cap.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So you could put out your college kids, and you can trot out the bones of old Dave McKay while you're at it.
So basically what you're saying is it could well be the exact same New Orleans Jesters team that I saw playing 4 or 5 years
Theoretically,
ago.
Theoretically, yes.
Wow. Reese Wilson was a handy striker. He'll do well there if he's still there.
And one of the things I also noticed on the PDL's website is there were 257 players that got PDL experience last season.
Wow, that's a serious number of players. That's what? The squads are presumably about 18 through 22 in terms of size. So even if every squad player is getting a game, that's a lot of teams.
A lot of squads.
Actually, no, really. That's only 10. 257? Do you mean 2,570?
No, 257.
But
a lot of players, basically.
And our color man chimes in.
Yes. So, this season, I think there are three different conferences, and in those three conferences, I think each has between two and four divisions. The division we're playing in this year is the Great Lakes Division. So, we've got, and as well as playing in the Great Lakes Division, we've also got a couple of games against teams who are outside of the division. For example, we're going to be playing Cincy Dutch Lions and what's the West Virginia team called again? The West Virginia Chaos?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be playing those two teams. We're playing West Virginia away and we're playing Cincy here in Louisville. Actually, funnily enough, I think we've got both the Dayton Dutch Lions and Cincy in the same weekend. Or same week, I should say.
We've got Dayton at center.
That's the special attraction
match at Center College.
And Dayton, being a former USL pro, as they used to call USL, back in the old days.
Back before football changed.
The new USL era. It's the Sky era for third-tier American soccer.
There was no football ever in England before 1992.
And there was no soccer at third-tier level in the U.S. before this year. It's true for Louisville anyway.
So let's discuss the Great Lakes Division a bit.
There's some good teams in there. I mean, to be honest, you'd expect the Dutch Lions to do well. Dayton Dutch Lions. I mean, they were a very successful PDL club back in the day.
One season they had in PDL.
Yeah, no, they were. It was a very successful season.
Yes,
and
it was. The thing about Dayton is they ran into the unfortunate problem of a lot of clubs, and not just in the USL, but in American soccer in general, is they ran out of money.
That's not just American football. That's everybody.
Well, some countries are a little bit more, as far as their upper three and four leagues are concerned, are a little bit more money, money tight. I don't know if that'd be the correct word.
The fit and proper test, as it were?
Yeah.
Doesn't really exist?
You go to England, the first four tiers are not going to run out of money anytime soon.
I beg to differ. Let's look at Leeds. Let's look at Portsmouth. Wimbledon.
Three very big examples.
Man City.
Well,
at one point.
Well, Man City's being bankrolled, so I don't think they count.
Before the Sheikh took over, they were in a similar boat.
Yeah, for decades. Yeah, but the regulations are different there.
Yeah, the ability for big clubs to just completely collapse isn't there as much. And so with Dayton, you were kind of hoping, I know I was hoping that when we were announced, they were still in the PDL and the USL, We were thinking, all right, this would be a fun little trip up to date. And then they said, oh, we're out of money. We're knocking out a PDL. I was like, oh, well, damn.
Yeah. But they'll still be strong enough. I mean, there's a decent culture in that town. I think, to be honest, they moved up too quickly in the long run, and that's partly what led to the difficulties. But
they're one of the only other teams in PDL that I know of that has an actual supporters group.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is one of the things I'm looking forward to, is actually being able to interact with another supporters group at that level.
Mm. And I mean, I know one or two guys from it, and they care. They're looking forward to this.
And shout out to Chad Hollingsworth, who is one of those guys, and he's a long time writer, commentator on the USL and PDL. And if Chad, if you're listening, we want to see you on the show.
Yeah, we'll have to do a Skype interview or something like that, at the very least.
We will gladly find a way to do that.
The other big name, well, I suppose there's three other, there's a lot of familiar names, it has to be said. The Michigan Bucks are the biggest name in PDL in the last few years. They're the current champions, they're 11-time conference champions, twice they've won it out.
Three-time led on finished hop in points.
Wow, I mean,
they're Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United, basically, is what you're saying.
Or they're Liverpool under Bob Paisley.
Or they're just Real Madrid. Well, it doesn't matter. The thing is, these guys, they expect to win every year. And there's a reason, because they come bloody close to winning every year. I've seen them play a couple of years ago when we were in the Great Lakes, or whatever the division was called, last. They're organized, they're strong. Even then, they'd kind of already qualified, so they weren't really too worried about putting out the strongest team. They've a great system. They are really... And apparently, I'm told great things about their stadium setup. Apparently, the entire thing is indoors.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I mean, it is Michigan, so...
You have to protect the players from rioting and looting.
Digging out your entire field of snow every few hours.
It's Detroit. It doesn't snow that much there. You just have to worry about, you know, the urban wasteland and RoboCop saving them.
Well, to be honest, if it's away from Detroit, then you've got the other problem, which is mosquitoes. But
or Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, Windsor's not too bad. But they're the big name, if you like, in terms of the PDL. We've got a couple of academy teams. Basically, we've got the under-23s from Pittsburgh Riverhounds, who we had an interesting clash with the other team in town,
Mockingbird FC.
Mockingbird Seniors. Louisville City took them on a couple of weeks ago, so that's an interesting mirror. And we've got Tron 3, Tron 3,
Tron 3, if you're from Quebec.
Yeah, but yeah, so they're always going to be handy. They won't really care very much about winning it. Except they will have a very good squad, so they might just end up winning it by default, if that makes sense.
They won the Interprovincial Cup against a club from Quebec. I think it was from Montreal. I don't remember the name of the club. First Interprovincial Cup in Canadian history.
Wow! At the under-23, the academy won it, or
yeah.
Wow!
It's a third tier Canadian cup.
I mean, while the senior team might be the king of the clown cars, this. Because, I mean, it's royal because it's Canada. It's not the president of the clown cars. That would be Chivas USA.
That seems a little bit overly harsh there. It's not so much they are trying to fail. They just seem to always
refers me back to a very interesting question that was posed by one Bill Shankly. Which has more passengers, the Queen Mary or Everton? A handful of people will get that joke.
Yeah. Good to hear that one coming from a Man United fan this week.
Of course. Well, and of course, we forget my favorite of all the named teams, the Kitchener-Waterloo United. Yes,
they all have massive mustaches, which is a joke that will only play to our British listeners.
And they all speak in patois.
Oh, are they that far? I didn't think they were all the way over.
Well, I was going to say, since, you know, Kitchener being a famous reggae artist... Lord Kitchener.
Oh, yes. Keeping with
the patois.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about them. I know
they're a mid-table finish.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. Consistent. Nothing spectacular. He said before some spectacular horror happens. And Forest City London, again, very organized team. They won the PDL lately. They're strong. They're always pretty strong.
They've been consistent.
Yeah.
Top four.
So,
they're the Arsenal of the Great Lakes Division.
They're the first club that I've noticed Their FC does not actually stand for football club. It stands for Forest City. Mm-hmm. You've seen them referred to as FC London, and I was like, all right, Football Club London. That's interesting.
Yeah, FC London FC.
Ah, well.
Should be a fun season for Rovers, shan't it?
I think so.
And projected finish against them, if you want to take a stab in the, or a shot in the dark, rather. You don't want to stab, because that could just be messy.
See, with these five, six teams?
Yeah.
Six teams.
Seven, if you count Rovers.
No, we're the seventh.
But I think we finish solid mid-table in that group. I think we go four.
Yeah. I'm going to be optimistic. If we have a good season, we could get third. I mean, obviously you want first. But on the balance of form, third, I think, would be a good season.
Considering that you've got Dayton and you've got Michigan, I think third would be a moral victory.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a great result, I think.
I'd be happy with that.
Of course, we'll accept winning.
Any final thoughts on the home leg, sir?
No, I'm, as I've said on the last two, have I been on two leg of ties now?
Yes.
Two or three, anyway.
Who's counting? I am very, very, very excited for this PDL season, you know, especially since I get to share it with the big club in the USL. I mean, this is a very fantastic time for Louisville and Kentuckiana soccer, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this, and I'm going to be crazy. So if you want to see a crazy black guy coming out to DCR games.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great season. And I think we should probably, we'll cast an eye on what's going on the rest in our division as the season goes on, because it looks to me like possibly the strongest division in the league.
And we will definitely want to keep an eye on to see what we can kind of pick up in terms of trends. We will be back after just a moment.
Okay, that was me doing an awful lot of talking.
Welcome back to the second leg of Two Legged Tie. This time we are going to have a good old chatter about old school footballers and old school football. Obviously, being old and having gone to school, I should know something about this, but I'm reckoning the other guys would have an idea.
Well, it should be noted that the whole genesis for this was I was watching the Peñarol Montevideo Wanderers match on one of those illegal streams.
TM.
Yes, exactly, TM. And they were talking about Antonio Pacheco,
who's it totally wasn't illegal, by the way.
Who's like 800,000 years old in Uruguayan footballer years, and how he's just the embodiment of what an old school footballer's been and should be in terms of his commitment to his club and to his play and to doing everything he can to push his team forward. And that got me thinking, how do we define old school and how do we define the characteristics that define that player?
Well, what do you think, Augustus?
Well, the old school player for me is a player that is not so much... You talk about the guys like Michael Jordan versus LeBron James in basketball. Michael would hand-check the crap out of you. And LeBron, he's got a little bit of defensive skill, but it's if you look at all the pushing and shoving that went on in the old school days, you know, 1992 to 6 and 7 and 8... That's versus what happened school. Now? Well, yeah, but think about in the general sense.
The era I grew up with was the 80s when it was Showtime versus the Celtics or the Pistons or Philadelphia.
Yay, Pistons.
You like Bad Boys, yes. That explains so much.
You're now officially at least 10 years older than I am. So
that was not the first team I watched either.
But no, it's the guys that... While they put in, they had the kind of guile and the flair, when it came to defense and when it came to, you know, putting a shift in and putting a foot in, sometimes literally, they would do such. That is the definition of an old school player. You know, to me, it's the guy, that was one part Flair, one part Hard Man. That is an old school player.
I would agree with you on that. I think to me, obviously, first and foremost, I kind of wanted to define it by the era. I wanted to define it as pre-Sky inventing football because there's so much more to football before 1992. To me, they were hard tackling but fair. They'd go in hard, but they would go in fair. They wouldn't go in with the intent to maim. They weren't lacking for flair or technical skill. They made a significant contribution to the team they played on, that being a very important thing. They embodied those systems, and they advanced it even if in subtle measures. They also had their measure of cunning, wit, guile, work rate, commitment, and fortitude, and are considered to be amongst the highest class of players to play in their positions.
Which, to be honest, is a pretty big list. If you had to be honest, I mean that is a considerable amount of players you could say fit into that mold. But we're gonna only attack just the best. So we're talking pretty much anything pre 1992, and we might have a little crossover, you know. But
we're thinking they had their peak before 92.
Okay, let's go with that. So who's on your list?
Didi of Brazil. Who basically spearheaded the 58 World Cup, I believe. Eust Fontaine from France. Daniel Passarella, because I know Martin will want to talk about it. Josef Bozic of Hungary. Nandar Ideke Guti from Hungary. Billy Wright of England. Kevin Keegan of England. Lev Yashin of the USSR.
Still, to this day, in the conversation for best goalkeeper of all time.
Oh, definitely. I don't know that I'd put anyone, maybe Troutman, next to him. And that's even stretching it.
Yeah. You know what? And I said this the last time I was on. I want to see where Manuel Neuer's career ends up. Because he has the possibility of taking that crown from Lev Yashin. He really does. He's got the technical skill. He's got the strength. He's got the shot-stopping ability. He's got just about everything you could possibly ask for in a goalkeeper. I want to see where he goes.
We just need 10 to 15 years after he retires.
I need to see where he goes.
Fritz Walter of West Germany. Umberto Caligaris of Italy. Renzo De Vecchi of Italy. Giuseppe Meazza, a man so nice they named a stadium twice.
We are about to name every player who's ever played for Italy, just so as you know.
Not everyone, just a smattering. Silvia Piola, who was a part of those great 30s teams. Giacino Facchetti.
Giacino,
thank you.
Giacino.
Facchetti. Franco Baresi. Dave McKay.
And now the second season of Names of Italian Footballers, brought to you by the Boarding Crew.
And
sorry.
And sponsored by Derby City Rovers and Nathan Pitcock.
just remember, 10%, it's all we're looking for.
Jimmy Johnstone.
There was a fine player. That was a really fine player. He played in the League of Ireland for a little while.
A player who made his manager berserk on numerous occasions.
And rightly so.
Steen didn't know what to think of him most of the time.
That sounds right.
Socrates, Jorginho, and Zico of Brazil.
Now, I'm going to have to ask the question, now that I'm actually back. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I had to run out for a moment because I didn't use the break properly. So we've got three fairly flary-sounding Brazilians. What makes these old school footballers, rather than other than they played what in varying between 45 and 30 years ago?
The fact that Jorginho obviously is picking up where Garrincha left off,
mm-hmm.
and pushing that team further.
Yeah,
I mean, he helped them assail heights that they wouldn't have gotten to. I don't think they would have continued like they did had he not picked it up after Garrincha kind of lost it.
Yeah, I get you.
When he went George Best, you know.
I think he did going George Best before George Best realized.
Oh, as I said to you earlier, he was George Best, except he had sired more children. That we know
acknowledged.
Of.
Acknowledged.
That we know of.
No comment here to the family of, what's his name? Damn it. I've already forgotten.
Garrincha or George Best?
Either one. No. We mean no disrespect to either of these two absolutely fantastic footballers. Just stop drinking.
Yeah. And remember, kids, if you want to become a fantastic footballer, you do not have to go and meet every woman who in the world, or every Miss World in the world.
I was
going to
say, you have to bet every Miss World in the world, actually. Getting back to what you were asking with regard to Socrates and Zico, their leadership, more than anything. Especially Socrates.
I want to make a special point on Socrates. Socrates is a doctor in Brazil.
Yeah. Well, was.
Well, was. I mean, and
he died of lung cancer, unfortunately.
And treated kids of the favelas pro bono.
Yeah.
A great, 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 great man.
Yes.
Not just a footballer.
And he had a hell of an influence on Greece.
Well, he'd a hell of a...
his method is still used to this day.
Socrates was an amazing character, and I mean, he's worth a leg of his own. When he was at in the middle of one of the dictatorships in Brazil in the early 80s, late 70s, he was at Corinthians, and he created him and, I can't remember the name of the other guy. There were two guys, him and a winger, and together they came up with the basic, Waldemar. Came up with the tenets of Corinthian philosophy, or Corinthian democracy, which is basically everybody who works for the club had a say in training, had a say in the team lineup, had a say in how they did things.
That's fantastic.
And he basically, when there was an election coming, you know, he pushed so hard to get people to actually go and vote because it was bringing it to an end, the dictatorship. And it was along the lines of, if you don't vote for democracy, I'm leaving. He left.
That's wonderful.
He ended up in Fiorentina. But the influence he has had on both the football and the actual concept of democracy in Brazil. This is a founding father of modern Brazilian democracy. This is a man who saved thousands of kids in the favelas. This is a guy we should worship.
Socrates is one of those guys that you hear the term hero banded out every once in a while and say, oh, this guy's a hero. Oh, everybody in the... No. If you want to talk heroes of not just, you know, your local kind of circle, but life in general, Socrates is your hero. Socrates is... I mean, he lived up to his name. His name will live forever in Brazil, not just because of what he did on the pitch, but what he did out off the pitch.
But if you're asking, yes, I would agree he's an old school footballer.
Definitely.
and one to appeal to you, Johan Horvath.
Yeah, you're talking about one of the quality forwards of the 1930s. That my love of the Austrian team of the 1930s is well known. Johan Horvath. Sindelar is obviously the star on that team.
He was actually the attacking mid. He was playing inside right. Horvath was.
This is the thing. Like a lot of players on those teams, if Horvath needed to play at centre-half, Horvath played at centre-half and did a good job there. I mean, you look at those teams. Yes, technically he was the inside right, and that's where he played in the 34 World Cup and I think the Olympics in 32, I think. When needed, he filled in place of Sindelar. He filled in the place of, what's his name? The guy I want to talk about in the second half as well.
Smistic,
thank you. He even filled in for Narush at on occasion. He was a fantastic player, really, really, and again, not shy to win the ball.
Yeah, well, as I think you and I have stated to each other, you know, your love of Austria is only equaled by my love of the 54 Hungary.
The Mayoral, yeah.
What a team! Closing out, we've got Pedro Roca of Uruguay.
What era was he?
He was their early 30s. He was there during...
Oh, so he's there during Giga's time and won the first one.
Yeah, he was basically their leader.
I didn't realize that.
He was their leading scorer till Forlan. Diego Forlan broke his record.
Seriously? That's a serious record.
Then Luis Suarez broke it not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. He was there till he had it till Forlan broke it.
Wow.
And then to close it out, we've got one of your favorites, Carlos Valderrama.
Ah, good.
Valderrama.
Pibe! Love... The greatest hair in international soccer history. To this day, I have no idea how he got this sort of brownish, blonde, semi-afro-curly thing. I don't know how that happened. There's no way that's natural, but somehow it is.
He was growing a porcupine on his
head. I don't know what it is, but it's the greatest thing ever, and I only wish I had the hair to pull that off.
The hair is world class. There's no question of that. But, I mean, when he played, I mean, you look at the clips of him when he was playing in Miami, when he came over here. Just that The couple of seconds he took on the ball were a couple of seconds more than everybody else was taking at the time. And what he was doing with the ball was just unbelievable. And when he needed to win it, he won it. If you look back to his Montpellier days, that was a man who left his mark on French defences, we'll put it that way.
You have a list, sir. I'm interested in hearing who you feel should be included.
I don't want to rave on for too long, but I do want to rave on. There's a few... good, thank you. There's a couple of players. I mean, this we would love to hear players you feel that have been left out. By the way, anybody you feel hasn't been in on this and should be left out. Like, for example, I don't have Enzo Francescoli from Uruguay. I should have put him on my list, and I realized as soon as I saw Roca, fantastic player. So please text us, tweet us, or Facebook us with these names. But just to scare you with a few names, I thought I'd hit a few different places.
You're going to hit Terry Butcher first to scare him?
Terry Butcher always needs to be hit. didn't like the guy. Don't like the guy. Think he's a jerk. I think I can say jerk on American Air, can't
sure,
I?
Sure, why not?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's always put in a shift for whatever team he played for.
Literally bled for his country.
All over his shirt and over other players. And I think most of it was his own blood. Smystic, I'm going to have to mention, because I mentioned him earlier, the Austrian wonder team of the 30s, midfielder who was on top of everything. In a time when you didn't have a box-to-box midfielder, he was a box-to-box midfielder. I mean, that was the team that invented total football, really. Well, that was the team that...
That was the team that took Jimmy Hogan's principles and turned him into total
exactly.
football.
A couple of players I'm fond of, Archie Gemmell, who's the only thing he ever did in his entire career that anybody remembers was score that goal for Scotland against the Netherlands. For 78 for the 2-2. That man
made a great scene in Train Spotting where
exactly.
a bunch of sex was had, and it was awesome.
But he also won 3 English championship league titles and captained his country, did loads of things. Never shy to get stuck in. Tiny man, gigantic footballer.
Looks a bit like Phil Collins right now.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I might have to take him off the list.
But poor bastard.
Graeme Souness, similar.
See, I'm surprised by Souness. Mm-hmm. I don't see him in an all-around capability.
I don't see him as all-around. I see him as doing what he does, but doing it with a
panache.
Crunching commitment. A crunching commitment.
A certain panache.
Yeah, there's a bit of panache. I mean, look at the hair. Back then, not now. Hair now, very boring. I'm going to go and... Yeah, you mentioned Passarella, I presume.
Of course.
Nilton Santos, the guy who invented the left full back, sort of, for Brazil in the 50s and 60s. I wanted to mention pretty much everybody who's ever played for Yugoslavia. But I'll stick to Faruk Hadžibegić,
easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Fine midfielder for Yugoslavia in the early 90s. And then I think for a very, very short period for Bosnia, maybe. Yeah, there's loads of others. I think we can probably put these up during the week. We're going to get a list from you maybe as well?
Maybe. There's only one guy I really respect as the old school footballer. And he's going to be a bit of a controversial pick, but I really love him just as a man. And he's had more of a career after football than while he was playing. Vinny Jones. I love, love Vinny Jones.
Welsh international Vinny Jones.
Maybe not the best technical footballer. Holy crap, was he a hard man. And I love the guy. You know, even if he beat my beloved Liverpool in 86 for that FA Cup, you know what? I don't mind. Vinny Jones. You know what? Lock, stock, and 2 smoking barrels, that erases all of the bad.
Don't hit on the crazy gang. They did what they did, and they did what they did well.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll put up some of these lists, I suppose.
Yes, and maybe we'll actually put reasons to justify these choices with the lists so that we can kind of give people an idea of where we're coming from.
I mean, we could talk about this for another 2 hours.
At least.
But we don't have that kind of time.
No.
So how can they find us?
So you can email us at louisville.boarding.crew@gmail.com.
You can reach me on Facebook at Augustus Alexander Waiters. That's that whole thing. Right now I have a tribute to the 96 up. I'm going to have that up until at least the end of April because that's just what I do as a Liverpool fan.
It's actually what his face looks like.
My face looks like a 96?
His face looks like a bunch of names.
Yeah.
Yes, it's surprising. It was disquieting for the first couple of episodes we did with him, but it's working out okay.
So you're saying he has a face made for radio?
Man, no wonder I can't get a date. Oh. Anyway, but you can also find me on Twitter at awaiters86.
We also have a Twitter for the boarding crew, which is at
Lou Boarding Crew.
At Lou Boarding Crew.
And we're on the Facebook at Lou Boarding Crew as well.
Good.
Because, you know, as I discussed before, I like uniformity. I like for the shirts to match the shorts. And maybe the socks too.
Dirty.
I am.
Okay. Well, I think that wraps us up for tonight.
That wraps it up for tonight. We will see you next time.
On Wednesday, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday. You will come out to Bernos. You will.
You will have pizza. You will watch football. And it will be fun.
Because if you don't, I will find you.
Arr! And then he'll give you scurvy. Thank you.